Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one to our worship service this morning. We got off to a good start with a great Bible study this morning, studying from the Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God, how near we are to seeing the fulfillment of that. We are in the kingdom of God right now. We are part of that kingdom, but it's going to all come to its fullness soon, I'm sure. We're so glad to see you. Hope you had a good week in the Lord. Hope that you've experienced His hand of love and the blessings and that He gives out. And it's a great blessing just to be here and to see you good folks here and to know that you're seeking the Lord. I'm going to share from Psalms 29 this morning, and it reads like this. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Saron, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of the fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discover the forest and his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord setteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
For hymn of worship this morning, using number 195, sing the first and fourth verse, and I'll have the first. That's all I'm saying. Another privilege you granted us to gather in your house on the Lord's Day, sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. I go with each individual, open their hearts and minds to see their message, who they are. Be with the sick, comfort and restore them back to their normal health again. It's me thy will. These things you ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we're using number 256. 256, first and fourth.
Thou marvelous, thou pray the things we sing through this morning be pleasing to thy sight. We ask that you would be with us and bring us the morning message. Forgive us if we fail, but it's his word we ask in thy name. Amen.
Father, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We know that whatever we have comes from you. As we bring forth the vision of this fact, our thine and all, we ask that you multiply them because of your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name.
I was trying to get information off of different bulletins there, and I got all lost mine. Now I'm back in the groove. This is the 29th, and Judy has now reached 1 more year older, and this is the 29th, and it's her birthday on the 29th, so we get to sing. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Judy, happy birthday to you. Amen. Okay, and as all of you know, we're going over to Oakland Christian Church tonight to the hymn sing, so we encourage you to come and go along and enjoy the evening with us there, and no Bible study tonight, so we're going to be going over there, and and this Friday night will be our fun food fellowship night already, and we look forward to that, we anticipate that, and Michael wasn't feeling well and had to go back home, so I can't agitate him a little bit here this morning, but he'll be up in shape and ready to go by Friday, I'm sure of that, and we'll have a good time. We enjoy him. What else is going on here? Okay, as we turn to our prayer list, we are very thankful God is working in people's lives, and people are still experiencing difficulties. We live in a world where we're affected with many things, and illness is one of those, that just happens, and we have some reports of Luther Doodle's friend that we told you about had the thing in his head there, the tumor. He was operated on, things going well for him. We just praise the Lord for answering prayers for that fellow. The little girl I mentioned over turkey foot last week was 5 years old, and certainly in need of prayer, so continue to pray for her. And Judy Cox is not doing well at all. We get this morning, and let's see who else we had. Two or three other I had there that I didn't get information on. And we're glad to see Vi with us this morning. Vi drove over today, and should I say this, Vi? Look out, Vi's on the road. No, we're glad that you're able to do that, Vi. We know that you'll be all right. All right. Okay, so continue to pray for these folks that's on our prayer list, and keep them in your hearts and your minds, as we say week after week. And we see God at work. See God at work in your lives, in your people's lives. And it's so wonderful to know that God is watching over, caring for you, providing for you, you know. That's certainly to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you, and that's what you people are doing, and we're glad to see that. God is sure true to his word. If we'll keep true to ours, if we'll keep true to his word, he's true to his. And so we know he's not going to short us, and we don't want to short him. And so continue to serve him. Anything else we need to our service people? Those people in the care homes, and certainly our church family. Just be so thankful. We talk a lot about being prayerful for all the things that we speak about, but you know, one of the great things is to be thankful, just to, you know, thank God for blessing that person you've been praying for. Thank God for blessing Luther. Thank God for blessing those that we get reports back for, and blessing you and so forth. And thank God for you've been able to be in his house and to show forth your faith and to honor him. And we know that as you honor God, God will honor you. And we have seen that happen so much and so often. You people are a good testimony for that. And so encourage others to do likewise. As we come to our prayer time, Almighty God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love that you showed upon this church family. That's for sure.
For a prayer hymn, you're number 250, saying the first and fourth verse, and Jerry will have her prayer. Let's all stand.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the simple Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I trust
the Lord and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, still more.
I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious
Jesus, the Savior friend,
and I
know that thou art with me,
will be
too.
Invitation hymn be number 385. At this time, the choir brings a special.
I want to go home.
Thank you, Kathleen. Choir, is that one of our specials for tonight, too?
Yes.
That's all right. It's worth singing twice today. That's for sure. Thank you. I know I always forget somebody, and so forth. Fanny and Wayne aren't here this morning because they are in Jackson to their family reunion. And so be in prayer for their safety as they come and go. Also, Donna is not here. We pray that things will work well for her. She gets a complete healing in her shoulder. And I did mention Michael, and so we want to pray for Michael, the young fellow. He's such an energetic guy here in our congregation. We miss having him here. And we just razz him all the time, but he's just a great guy. And so pray that he'll be strengthened, be able to go to work tomorrow and enjoy his day. And if I forgot somebody else, please forgive me, but keep them in your hearts and your minds. Back to chapter 5, the book of Matthew. In Christ, I am. And so our message this morning comes from verse 13. I'm the salt of the earth. So 5:13 reads like this. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be saved? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of man. In Christ, I am salt of the world. Say that with me. In Christ, I am salt of the world. You really are. Much of the salt in the ancient days, in the days Jesus walked the earth, and the day that Jesus was give these Sermon on the Mount, and includes this verses here. The ancient times, they gathered salt from the Dead Sea. And it was quite a task to do that. And if, for some reason, they got sand mixed in the salt, the salt then would lose its power and would be no effect. And I read also where they scraped it off from the mountainsides, and they had to scrape back pretty far to get pure salt and so forth. So when we're thinking about salt, it was quite a project to get back there, and it was separating it and making it pure was quite a task for them. And you know, when we think about the sand getting mixed with the salt and so forth, it makes me think about when the sand of secularism and the Hinduistas of the philosophers and the lifestyles, when they become mixed with the gospel loses its power. And so that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the gospel. He uses this an analogy here. And he's talking about the power that is there or the power that is lost there. And I want us to notice a couple of things here. This is really an indicative, and it's not an imperative. It doesn't say, you know, well, you ought to be salt. And he doesn't say, you must be salt. He doesn't say, you know, it would really be nice if you were salt. But you see what that says? It says, you are. That's what he said last week in the passage. You are. And he said, you are the light. It's not maybe you are, it's are. You as his followers, as Christians, as disciples, ye are the salt of the earth. And so as we look at that, his disciples, if we notice rather here that his disciples there was in, he was talking to them, those that followed him, he's talking to us today. So the first thing I want to encourage you with this morning is this. The salt is really valuable. And salt is precious and valuable. And I'm talking from Jesus' standpoint here, from that time there. It may not be today salt to us. What, you know, I mean, you go down to Kroger's or AP or Walmart's, and what do you get, a 26 ounce of this Morton Salt and the little thing with the girl with the umbrella on it and so forth for about, what, 50, 60, 70 cents. And so to us today, salt is cheap. But it's much different than the day it was then. We thousands of tons of salt we just spread on the highways in the wintertime. And so we don't think too much about the value of salt. But salt, in the day that Jesus spoke that, when he said, ye are the salt of the earth, they knew the value of salt. What's that say to us? Ye are of great value to the Lord. And so the salt in our society is taken for granted. I wonder today, you know, how much salt will be used cranking ice cream, and then it'll be poured out. No thought about the salt at all, that the salt is taken for granted. But in the ancient world, you know, the soldiers were often paid by salt. You could buy a slave with salt. And that's probably where the old saying, you know, he's not worth his salt, or the man is worth his salt. So salt was of great value in this day that Jesus is speaking about. And so you have to consider and think about that time and realize that when Jesus used that term, they knew the value of salt and knew it was precious, knew it was of great value. Jesus uses it for you and your witness out there in the world. And you are a great value. You're very precious to the Lord. You are a great value to his kingdom. And so I read this story about this ancient king. He had three daughters, and he asked them, said, how much do you love me? And the older one said, I love you more than all the gold in the world. He asked the second one, and she said, I love you more than all the silver in the world. And he asked the youngest one, and she said, I love you more than salt. He didn't take to that very kindly. He didn't think that was a very good compliment. But the chef overheard that conversation. The next day, he fixed a great meal for the king, and he didn't put any salt in it. He set it before the king, and it was so bland, so dull, that the king couldn't eat it. And then the king realized what his young daughter had said, and he realized the value of salt. Salt is precious, salt is value, and Jesus looks at you and counts you as a real value to his kingdom, to his church. We right here today, I look out to you and I say to you, you are precious. You are a great value to this church right here in Porter, Kentucky. You might not think so, but I want to assure you that you are. Not only are you important, or not only you are a value to this church, you are precious in the sight of God, and you're a great value to his kingdom. And this helps us to see that as he illustrates here for us. Matthew 10:31, Jesus said, fear not, therefore. Ye are more value than two sparrows and many sparrows. And Luke records this about the same thing, and he says, you know, but even the hairs of your head are numbered. And therefore he goes on and uses also the term that Matthew used. He said, you are worth much more than many sparrows. I want to encourage you, and you know, sometimes we get the kind of negative thoughts in our minds over, but I want to assure you that you should never forget the fact that you are of great value to the kingdom of God. Ye are the salt of the world. And it's great value to God. And then salt kills bacteria. It prevents rotting. I believe, you know, as I thought about it, I've thought this several times. I've often thought that our enemies, you know, have shot, you know, use this, what is it, chemical warfare against us, and they've shot all this bacteria over here, and America's rotten. But I know Satan is the one that's the blame for all the rotten that's going on in America. He has hindered the church. He has hindered Christians, and Christians just aren't as salty as they have been and aren't as salty as they ought to be. And therefore, we are beginning to experience rottening in our nation and in our church, in our lives. I just read, and Richard, I read about the church that you was telling me about, that the preacher locked the people out and the people locked the preacher out and all that kind of stuff. Boy, that's rotten stuff. And so it's happening not only in the world, it's not only happening in the nation, it's happening in communities, it's happening in church, that beginning to stink. Beginning to say, I read about this grandfather. And his grandfather went to visit his daughter and her family for the weekend. And after the trip, he was quite tired, and so he went in and got in the lazy boy and reared back and went to sleep. And he had quite a growth of mustache. And the grandchildren thought it would be fun to sprinkle some Limburger cheese in his mustache. And so they did, and they watched for him when he woke up. And he woke up, and he stood up, and he shook, and he said, "Wow, it stinks in here." He went in the kitchen and he said, "It sure does stink in here too." And he walked out on the front porch and he said, "The whole world stinks." And you know, that's really what's happening. The world is beginning to stink because of the old bacteria that's evilness that's taking place. Satan is the evil devil that causes all the stink in the world. And I've not only heard young people say life really stinks, I've heard older people say lately, life stinks. And you know why life stinks? This verse. Christians have lost their savor. Christians have lost their savor. When I was growing up, back on the farm over in the hollow, Thanksgiving time, and some of you older gentlemen can associate to this. Thanksgiving time, my father always looked forward to cold weather then, because he hog killing time. And as soon as it got a little cool, all the neighbors got together, come to our place. Daddy had the scalding box and all that stuff, and they had a hog killing. And boy, then us children, we'd carry those hams, those shoulders, those big old slabs of side bacon. We'd carry them up to the smokehouse. And then Dad would let us help him, and we'd rub them things with salt. Rub that in real good, so that the bacteria wouldn't grow in there and cause them to rot. And boy, did we eat high on the hog for the next year. And folks, I ask, have we been rubbing any salt in? Have we been shaking any salt out? Is that why all the bacteria is floating around? Is that all the stink we see and heal and experience in the world today? Because we as Christians are lacking in our salting. If we're going to prevent the bacteria of sin from affecting our nation, from affecting our county, our church, or our lives, we got to be salt takers. Jesus says, if it loses savor, it's no good. I ask you, have we been salty enough? Or have we lost our savor? Is it beginning to stink around you? I believe we are getting a whiff of it today. all around. So yeah, salt kills bacteria. And Jesus uses this as sin. So you, being a salty dog, can certainly have a great effect upon the world around you. Salt creates thirst. You get your big old bowl of popcorn, sit down in front of the television, or you get your bag of those Frito corn chips. I love those things, you know, but boy, I just eat too many of them. You get your bag of those and get in there, you just can't quit, and you'll soon find out what thirsty is, don't you? There is a thirst that salt causes. Jesus caused people to thirst for God. And that's what you and I are commissioned to do. Jesus has told his disciples, go out and be salt shakers. Make people thirsty for the world. I mean, for thirsty in the world. Not for the world. That's what the problem is. We're thirsty for the world. Be salt shakers. Get people to be thirsty for the Word of God. Get people to be thirsty for the Word of God. Invite them to come and drink from the fountain of life, and it will refresh their spirit and soul. Salt makes people thirsty, creates a thirst. And this church, our goal, our challenge, our command from the Lord is to make this community thirsty, that they will want to drink from the fountain of life. Are we really shaking the salt in the community? Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What does it say after that? For they shall be filled. You know? That's a promise from the Lord. Those who thirst for righteousness, what he's saying, those who thirst for the gospel, those who thirst for the ways of God, is going to be filled, and they're going to be able then to enjoy the good things of God there. John 4:13-14, and this is one of Norma Jean's favorite chapters in John. Chapter 4, isn't it? That's where Jesus meets the lady at the well as he's going through Samaria. And he begins to speak to her and talks to her about the water of the well. And he says, If you knew who I was, you'd ask of me for water, because she had just asked him why he, a Jew, asked a Samaritan woman for water. And he goes on to tell her that, you know, if you drink of the water that I have, you won't thirst anymore. She got the message, because she said, Lord, give me that water so that I won't have to come here and draw anymore. He was telling her, drink in from the kingdom. All these things, what the scriptures say, all these things will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these, and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Certainly will. John 7:37 says, in the last day, and this Jesus stood up in a feast, and Jesus stood up crying, if any man thirsts, let him come and drink. Listen, if you thirst after righteousness, you come to the Lord. He will fill your cup to the brim, that's for sure. He will fill your cup to the brim. Revelation 7:16 says this, and this is speaking of one day when the Lord comes and the judgment takes place and we're gathered with him, and he says, they shall hunger no more. nor thirst no more. There's going to come a day when there'll be no hunger, no thirst, when we're at home with the Lord. And then lastly is this. Salt adds flavor. And salt adds flavor to food. And as the salt, speaking of here, added to people, it adds to life. If you've ever ate dinner with Jerry and Judy, you will know that they want to get all the flavor out of their meal they can, because they're very liberal with that salt shaker. Amen. It makes it taste good, doesn't it? It puts flavor in there. I mean, green beans are good, and if you don't have some salt in them, they're not too good, are they? Your food is that way. You know, I read this story about this song that came out, I think it was 2007, and it says Flavor of Life, and it was played on the air in Japan in 2007. Flavor of Life, and maybe some of you have heard of that. It's been in the States many times too, for a long time. 2008, it had sold 8 million copies. And what that is saying, that song had in it, that your life would gain flavor, you know. It tells me that people are looking for flavor of life. And you are the salt. And if you will be the salt shaker, people will experience flavor in their lives. People are looking for that. You know, they're looking for a little spizz in life, a little zest in life. I don't mean like the world gives. I mean like the Lord gives, you know. If you get Jesus in your life, you're going to have a little zesto. There's another word for that. I forget now how you use any. You're going to be pepped up somewhat, you know. It's kind of discouraging to see somebody, you know, talk about having the Lord Jesus Christ in their life and so forth, and they look like, you know, that they've lost their long lost, they have lost their best friend. You know, that doesn't show me too much. If you are a follower of Christ, if Christ lives within you, you're going to have a little zesto in you, and you're going to be salting some of those around you, and they also will experience a little better flavor of life, so to speak. But I can't quit without looking a little further at that verse. Ye are the salt of the earth. And here's a warning, though. But, that word but, ye are the salt of the earth. But, if that salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Be cast out. Trodden under man's feet. We have just studied in our Bible study. Some of you folks, we'd really encourage you to come to be in our Bible study. We've had some very good Bible studies of the morning. But Jesus has taught us through the last few weeks that there's going to come a time when people are not going to be able to enter the kingdom. The door is going to be shut, just like in Noah's day when the ark door was shut. God shut that door. Noah didn't shut that door. And Jesus told the story about 10 virgins, and 5 were left out. He talks about a wedding feast that were invited, and those who made excuses won't get in. So here in this verse is a very strong warning to us as Christians, as followers of God, of the Lord. We're the salt of the earth. And if our salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. Has no power. If you go down to work tomorrow and you tell jokes with the guys down there and you tell stories with the ladies around the fountain cooler there, your Sunday power is gone. You've lost your Savior. You got to be a salt shaker, shaking a little salt around that fountain. Those jokes begin to come. Satan boils them jokes up and they get dirtier and dirtier as they go. You need to put a little salt on them. Get your shaker out. Put a little salt on them. Calm them down. You see, because God doesn't have any obligation whatsoever toward those who have tasted the power of salvation and then later fell back into the lies that they once lived. That's really what that verse is saying also. If you were salt and you lost your Savior, God has no obligation to you. Jesus says that in various ways. You see, because God is busy in the lives of those who are faithful, those who are real salt shakers. God's busy in their lives. And he's not obligated to those who lose savor. You understand what he's saying there. As I finish, I want to share this. A couple things. Listen, folks, we have to be really, really be blind if we don't see the decay and the corruption that's going on around us. In our community, in our activities around, in about any place, anywhere, even in the church. We have to be very blind if we don't see the corruption that's going on. The decay that is around us. If you remember Daniel, the Daniel series we had, and you remember Daniel got a vision, and in that vision he said that the kingdoms would go down, that the nations would fall. And this is what he said, they would go from gold, what, to silver, to brass, to iron. What was the last one? To clay. The deterioration because of the corruption, they would come to naught. Come to naught. Folks, there's corruption all over the place. As I just said, there's corruption in all workplaces. Political arenas, there's corruption. There's corruption in the churches. Oh, it's not only in high places. It's not only with, you know, the treasurer or the bank or the CEO of the company that is corrupted and so forth. It's in all kinds of all walks of life. We're seeing our society fall apart. Very easy, isn't it? Marriages falling apart all over the place. Families scattered everywhere. Our law enforcement and our judicial system is laughed at. Folks, are we going to be like Jonah? You remember Jonah? Jonah brought down condemnation to Nineveh, told them about the wrath of God is going to be on them. And you know what Jonah did? Jonah went outside the city and sat down and waited to see the wrath of God fall on Nineveh. Jesus, it says, looked over Jerusalem and wept. You know why? Jerusalem had lost its savor. It had become so corrupt. Abraham, you remember Abraham? And Lot went down in Sodom and Gomorrah area. And Abraham talked to God. And God's angel said he was going to destroy that place. And Abraham said, oh God, if there's 50 salt shakers down there, will you save it? God said, yeah. There's 50 salt shakers down there. I'll save it. Abraham said, God, if there's five less, will you save it? Yeah, if there's five less, if there's 45, I'll save them. And you know the story. It cut down to what did Abraham said. Abraham said, God, if there's only 10 salt shakers down there, will you save them? God said, yeah, I will. You know the rest of the story. It was destroyed. You remember Paul in the book of Romans, which we're studying now at night. He knew how blind Israel was. But he was willing to be a curse that they could be saved. You can see Joseph in Egypt. And you can see Daniel in Babylon. And they lived among corrupt stuff. But you know, it didn't affect them. They were still salt shakers. And you know, God blessed them. And they were salt shakers. And they also, probably those who didn't listen, those that didn't thirst for what they had, are probably very sorry today they didn't get a little thirsty for what God has. I ask you today, folks, have we failed? Have we lost our Savior? Are we salty as we ought to be? Are we really the salt shakers that God would have us to be? Ye are, he says. Ye are. But if you've lost your Savior. So I say to you today, when you go out this week, and wherever you go and whatever you do, shake a little salt. Let's stand and sing the invitation hymn, first verse only. Hear my Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling. I say your calling, take thy cross and follow me. Folks, for being in the Lord's house. May God richly bless you. Those folks that are going to stay for a few minutes after church, if you will, meet with me over in the kitchen there just as after we dismiss and take a little fellowship. Oh, please do that. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you that we have people who are the salt of the earth. It goes out and makes people thirsty and people drink from the fountain of life. Almighty God, we look forward for the day when we'll sit down under the tree of life and watch as the waters flows down through the river of life from the throne of Almighty God. What a vision that is. What a wonderful vision that is for us. But Almighty God, help us to spread thy living word in such a way that people will thirst after what you have for them, that there'll be flavor added to their lives, and we'll enjoy the things that you have for us in this life and the life to come. Now bless our people as we leave this place, Almighty God, we pray. Grant good things through them, safety throughout this week, we pray. Help us, if the Lord tarry, to be back in this place to honor you next Lord's Day. Express our faith and love for you and the Lord Jesus, whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.